Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 169, all stanzas. Thou visitest the earth in love, and sendest showers from above, enriching all the land. Thy streams exhaustless bless the field, preparing it the grain to yield, provided by thy hand. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 169.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Exodus, the 13th chapter, and the first 16 verses, 1 through 16 of Exodus chapter 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day, in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month Abib. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me, and when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling in that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of men among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand, the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, it is again in this morning hour that we may be gathered together on this special day, which is set aside by us, that we may attempt to acknowledge Thee. And Lord, Thou knowest the nation in which we do live, that more and more Thy name that is denied, along with Thy existence and with Thy goodness and with all the works of Thy providence, so that man, he makes himself even as the beast of the field, and even lower, more base than the beasts. Oh, that Thou may remember us in mercy, for Thou hast provided for us as nations and as peoples, and Thou hast given so much above what we deserve, and Thou hast poured out upon us blessing after blessing in our land, so that man is filled therewith, and the prosperity that is above all the nations of the world, wherein so many are hungry and thirsty in this world, and do suffer want and need. But us and our children Thou hast blessed abundantly. Oh, that our countries may in this day still bow our knees before Thee, the true and the living God, that it may not be but a day of feasting and of gladness in an outward way, but that it may yet be a day of true repentance, that Thou may give in this day men to acknowledge Thee, that the eyes may go open, that men may be given to acknowledge that they are not able to provide for themselves, and that from the king that does sit upon the throne, to the maid servant that is behind the mill, that all together we may be given to bow before the living God and the creator and the provider of all of this universe. When Thou wouldst restrain Thy hand just for a moment, then everything would be brought to disorder. Then we realize not how dependent that we are upon Thee, and that Thou makest all the laws of the universe to continue, and that Thou makest all the laws of instinct to be obeyed by the creatures of this world. But man has rejected Thy moral law. O Lord, then the responsibility that is upon us is so, so very great. Wilt Thou not judge us according to our deeds, but wilt Thou be pleased to bring us again upon our knees before Thee? Do remember us as a denomination, as congregations whom Thou hast also so blessed. For it is not only the increase of the earth that we may enjoy day by day with our children, but it is also the proclamation of Thy word and of Thy truth. That truth that we have received out of Thy hand, by the hand of our forefathers, and that still may be brought amongst us and our children. Oh, that Thou may give us this day thankful hearts,
but that they may be hearts that may cry to Thee, and that we may also experience it in our own life, and that we may not miss that most blessed portion that we need before that we die. Oh, do then remember all Thy people. Wilt Thou humble them this day under all the food and the drink that Thou hast provided for them? Oh, sometimes so imperceptibly that Thou hast maintained that life, and at other times that Thou hast given them to feast upon Thy word, that they may eat and drink, and that the meek may be satisfied. Oh, that we all together as a congregation may not miss this portion, but that we may not be satisfied with all the natural food and drink, but that we may desire and hunger and thirst after that bread which Thou didst send from heaven, that heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, who is the meat and the drink of those who are hungry and thirsty, the water of life, the fountain of life. And when we may drink of that fountain, oh, then we shall never thirst. Wilt Thou remember us in this day of acknowledgement? We have it not in us by nature, but wilt Thou grant it in the heart of each one of us to meditate for a little while in this day, could it please Thee, to meditate upon Thy goodness, where it may be found in our life, that we so often take for granted in the busyness of our life. But when it is a day set aside for this purpose, oh, that we may also then set aside a little time, that our thoughts may wander to and fro over our life, and that we may be given to dig and to search a little, that we may behold Thy blessings and all Thy goodness and long-suffering, and that we may see also our sin. Oh, that great contrast between Thy goodness and our wretchedness may bring our hearts to a true repentance. Oh, that we may be ashamed of ourselves this day, and that we may come in the dust of self-abasement, and that we may be brought to smite upon our breast and to beg of Thee mercy and grace and forgiveness of all of our many, many sins. Wilt Thou remember those that are destitute? Oh, be with those that have not food and drink sufficient in this world, that do die from starvation. Oh, that Thou may supply for them, O Lord, but that we may not only say, eat and drink and be filled, to wish it upon them, but that we may also take up our own responsibilities, and that we may give them that which they need, using the means that are at our disposal also, to help the needy that are in this world. Oh, give us hearts that go out unto them, when we may sit in our abundance. Wilt Thou remember those who have not Thy word? O Lord, then that is the famine which Thou speakest of in Thy word, a famine of the word. And so it is over many places in this world. O that Thou may also remember them in Thy mercy and bring Thy word to the ends of the earth. And when men do reject Thee because they know not Thee, And when men have no desire for thy word and for thy law, oh, that thou may open their eyes also, and that thou may remember us in all the nations of the world and also here in our very own. And wilt thou be with all those that are afflicted and sick in this day and not able to gather with us. And may they receive also a blessing in their place and help from above in all their natural circumstances. Wilt thou go before us in this morning hour when we are called to bring this little portion of thy holy word. Lord, wilt thou be among us to make it good to be in thy house and to receive this little bit of instruction from thee in this morning hour, and that thou thyself may give it to be for our profit, for our temper and our spiritual life. Forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 402, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. There will be but one collection today, which is for the church fund. O sing, ye hallelujah, 'tis good our God to praise. 'Tis pleasant and becoming to him our songs to raise. He builds the walls of Zion. He seeks her wandering sons. He binds their wounds and comforts the broken-hearted ones. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 402. Thank you. Congregation, it is for us a very special day, a day of thanksgiving. Who has made this day to be a special day? That is not the Lord, but that is us, that is man, who has set aside this day. That is a wonder. Seeing the times in which we live, and seeing how far that man has departed from the Lord. We cannot imagine that such a day as this, wherein there is an acknowledgement of the name of the Lord and the existence of the Lord, the providence of the Lord in this world, we cannot imagine that such a day would be instituted, would be begun in the day in which we are living. It is to us a wonder that this day is even permitted to exist in our countries, in the day that we live in, when men in a public way more and more denies the existence and providing hand of the Lord. Therefore, we may be thankful and that we may even have such a day as a public holiday. What is now the purpose? The purpose of this day, children. Why do we gather together this day? It is not the Sabbath day. Why do we then gather together again this day in the house of the Lord? The purpose that is to acknowledge the Lord. And it behooves us to acknowledge Him. Why? Because of our dependence upon Him. For we are not able to give ourselves the smallest part of that which we stand in need of. When the Lord will withhold the rain, when the Lord will withhold the sunshine, then we do feel time and again how that we are not in control of all the blessings that we receive day by day. And therefore it behooves us to gather in such a day. There is but one day that is set aside by the Lord. By the Lord Himself as a special day in the New Testament church. What is that? That is the Sabbath day. That is also a day of remembrance. Just as this is a day of remembrance, the Sabbath day is also a day of remembrance. To remember what? It is held on the first day of the week, because it is to remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is that resurrection which is providing life for His entire church. That is in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, then there were many such days of remembrance. We have considered one of those days together recently. That is the day of the Passover. Along with the feast of unleavened bread. That was a day of remembrance. A day to remember. A day to bring to mind again. A day to meditate upon that great wonder of the Lord, that He has passed over the houses of the Israelites. And now we can read and we have heard in the day of yesterday how that the children of Israel, they come to Succoth. And there at Succoth, they are reminded once again by the Lord. They are reminded about this commemoration of the Passover. That is, in a special way, about its perpetual nature, that it was to happen year by year over again. That did not happen for the next 40 years. That the children of Israel commemorated the Passover. That did not happen in the wilderness, because one of the requirements for the commemoration of the Passover was what? That was circumcision. And we know that circumcision was also not done while the children of Israel were in the wilderness. But the Lord, He is commanding the children of Israel, when they will now come into that land of Canaan, then this was to be commemorated year by year. And at the same time, the Lord added something to it. And that is now what we wish, with the Lord's help, to consider with you in this morning hour from the words of our text. Exodus 13, verses 1 and 2. Exodus 13, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. So far, the words of our text. The Lord requires the sanctification of the firstborn as a fruit of true gratitude. First, the ordinance, and second, the reason for this ordinance. The Lord requires the sanctification of the firstborn as the fruit of true gratitude. First, the ordinance. Second, the reason for this ordinance. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Who is speaking? That is, the Lord. Thus, this is not an ordinance of man. But here we have an ordinance of the Lord Himself. Israel is commanded to commemorate a feast of remembrance. That is nice, children. Is that not nice? In a day such as today, when we may gather with our families, and when we may have a feast day, and when we may cease from our labors, when we may make a commemoration, we say that is a very enjoyable day. Yes, so the Lord has given it unto the children of Israel. But then the Lord, He has also done something else. The Lord has also required something of the children of Israel. And He has required of them a self-denial. A self-denial on account of all of the things that the Lord has given unto them. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. What does that mean? Sanctify, that means to set apart. That is actually the word for being holy. To set it apart as being holy. He says, sanctify it unto me. Set it apart
unto me.
What does that mean?
That means all of all the things that they may now receive in their life from the Lord, there is something that the Lord says is not yours. No, there is something that is mine. All of the firstborn, they have to be given unto me. Those you are not allowed to have for yourself. But he says, I claim it for myself. I claim it for my service. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. This is not the first time that we have heard about the firstborn. Children, the firstborn. When did we hear about them? We heard about the firstborn of the Egyptians. And what happened to the firstborn of the Egyptians? They were slain. We heard about the firstborn of the children of Israel. And what happened to the firstborn of the children of Israel? They were spared. And now we hear about the firstborn again. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Why does the Lord speak about the firstborn? Because the firstborn were of a very special significance. The firstborn, they were the hope, they were the joy of the family. Then we are not speaking about the girls of the children of Israel, but it is the boys. It is the firstborn son. Why? Because it is in that firstborn son that the whole family would be perpetuated. It is in him that that family would grow. The Jews, they always hoped that they may have boys. Why? Because the girls, they would help to build the families of their husbands. And then the name of their husband would be perpetuated. But for the boys, they would be helping to build up and to grow their own family. Thus, there were very special privileges that were set aside for those firstborn sons. The firstborn sons, they received a double portion of the inheritance. And the firstborn sons were those of the family that could not be disinherited. It was possible and that a father or a mother would disinherit their children. Thus, when they would pass away, that a certain son or a daughter would receive nothing of all their goods. And this was happening more often when there was a polygamous marriage. A second wife, she was able, when a husband would pass away, to interfere and to take away the portion that was set aside for the children. But such a thing was impossible for this firstborn son. He was not permitted to be disinherited. The firstborn son was considered by the Jewish people to be the successor of the father. We know that when Elisha, when Elijah would pass away, then Elisha, he has asked if he may receive a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. What did he mean?
a double portion, then he was asking if he may have the place of the firstborn son. He was asking if he may be the successor, as it were, of his father, as he has cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Thus, to be his successor, the firstborn. We read that the Lord Jesus himself, he is called by times the firstborn. He is called the firstborn among many brethren. Thus he made himself to be a brother to his children, but not as if he was a brother in equality, but he was the firstborn among many brethren. Thus, he had that very special place as the successor. We read that he is called the firstborn of every creature. Thus, the Lord Jesus himself. But what do we now read concerning all the people of the children of Israel? The Lord, he says, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Thus, what does the Lord do? The Lord, he makes a comparison concerning his own people with all the other nations of the world. And he says that the children of Israel, they are going to receive that double portion. They're going to receive that special place among all the nations, the special place of that firstborn. Thus, that firstborn, that is really speaking about the entire nation of the children of Israel, as they are the true children of the Lord. And these are now represented by the Lord in that firstborn. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. Thus, after the Lord delivered his people, he demands that the firstborn are sanctified, set apart, not only of men, but we read here also of the beasts. That is, the clean beasts and also the unclean beasts, and then also of the children, all that openeth the womb. And what then must be done? What had to happen with all of these firstborn? First, we have the beasts. The firstborn among the beasts, they were to be sacrificed. That is, if it was among the clean beasts. We read later that it was not until the eighth day, the lame or the blind among the clean beasts was not to be sacrificed unto the Lord. But it was also not to continue in this life for their use, but it was to be killed and it was to be eaten by them at their own homes. Thus, the clean animals, they were to be sacrificed. Then we have the unclean animals. May the unclean animals be sacrificed? No. But those firstborn, they were still not to be used by the children of Israel, also among the unclean beasts, unless that they were first redeemed. What does the Lord say? All the firstborn are mine. And if you will take one of these unclean beasts which may not be sacrificed unto me, and you have a desire to use this animal in your service, then you need to buy it back from me. That means you must take one of your clean beasts, your clean animals, a lamb, for example, and you must sacrifice that lamb, you must give that lamb unto me in the stead of that unclean beast, and now you have bought back that unclean beast for your own service. And if you have no desire to sacrifice a lamb, and you will not buy it back from me for your service, then you may not use it in your own, but it has to be slain. It has to be killed. It is a firstborn, it is consecrated, and it is not for your own use. Thus we have the beasts. Second, we have man. Thus what had to happen with the children, boys and girls. Must the children then be sacrificed unto the Lord upon the altar? What do you think? No, you say, certainly not. No, that was the practice of the heathen. But then the children, the firstborn among the males, what had to happen to them? The Lord says they have to be set apart. That is, they have to be given unto the Lord as a living sacrifice. Thus, your firstborn, the Lord says, they are not for you, but it is mine. It belongs especially to me. Thus, the firstborn are the ones who will work in my service. We would say, they shall be the ministers. They shall be for the public worship service. Now we know later on that the Lord made a change in this. Do you know what that is, young people? That the Lord made a change. Instead of the firstborn, he has taken someone else. That was a certain tribe. That was the tribe of Levi. And yet, each of those firstborn, they were consecrated so that when the children of Israel had their firstborn son, no, they no longer had to give him into the service of the Lord. But the Lord says, just as those beasts that had to be redeemed, now your son has to be redeemed. Do you want to use him now for your service? Then you must redeem him. And you must redeem him with 5 shekels to my sanctuary. That we read of later on. But we do read already here that Moses speaks about the redeeming, the redemption of these firstborn. Thus, we have the ordinance. Our second thought, that is the reason. Why? Why this ordinance? And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, and that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. So the Lord sets it as a perpetual ordinance to his people that must be continually observed. Why? It is an ordinance of thanksgiving. It is an ordinance of remembrance. It is an ordinance of instruction. The Lord will never have his people to forget. Therefore, he says, as we read here, and it shall be for a token upon thine hand and for frontlets between thine eyes. That does not mean that it was to be for them a token on their hand and frontlets before their eyes in a literal way with passages of that law inscribed and bound to their foreheads? No. But Israel was to think. Israel was to meditate upon these ordinances. And in the second place, Israel was to perform these ordinances. Thus, the Lord speaks about two things. One, he says that it has to be before thine eyes, as frontlets, something that is hanging, something that is ever to be observed before thine eyes, that you are always looking at it, and that it always may be remembered. And also a token upon thine hand, our hand that is used for action. Thus, it is not only to be something that is meditated upon, but it is also something that is to be carried forth in our life, that is to be carried forth into action. The Lord says, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Remember them forever and observe them. And not only for themselves, but also for their children. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? Do you ever do that, boys and girls? Do you ever say, what is this? Do you ever say, mother, father, why do we do this? Why this custom? Why this observance? Why do we do it this way? Why do we do it not another way? Then you give your mother and your father an opportunity to do what they have to do. And what is that? That is to instruct you. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this, that thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. Thus, why will the Lord have this ordinance to be observed year after year and continually in their families? That is for their children. That is, those children who have never seen the wonders that the Lord has done for them in that land of Egypt. And when they have never seen the wonders and they would never hear of those wonders, then that wonder that will die, then it will be completely forgotten. And the Lord will not have that wonder to be forgotten, and he will have none of his wonders to be forgotten. And therefore, we would say a ritual, and therefore we would say a commemoration year by year, that our sons, that our little ones may have something to ask about, and that we may have something to speak about, and that wonder of the Lord that he has performed, that also may be glorified. Thus, the Lord often has instructed his people to establish means, the means of remembering his own work, that his people would never forget. They had to put fringes on their garments. They had to put stones by the Jordan. Why? That their children, in time to come, they will ask, what are those stones doing there? And then they may tell again of the wonders of the Lord, and how that the Lord, he has stopped those waters from coming down, and that they may cross that Jordan and that they may, that all their enemies may be delivered into their hands. In the New Testament, the Lord's Supper, that is also a meal of remembrance in the midst of God's church, that is to be commemorated time after time in order that also His people may never forget. And what must they now remember? They must remember the wonderful deeds of the Lord. By this ordinance, what does the Lord do? He brings the children of Israel back to their origin. And where is their origin? They began there in the land of Egypt. And what does the Lord do? He says to the children of Israel, I will have you never, never to forget the place that I plucked you from. I will have you never to forget the place that I delivered you from, the wretchedness, the misery. Because when you will see again that place that you came from, then the deliverance that will seem to you so much the greater, then you will see it as it were in its right light, in its right perspective. What must they remember? Their origin. Then they must remember something else. They must remember the divine intervention. When they were so helpless, when they were so powerless, when their enemy that had the complete mastery over them so that they were not able to deliver themselves out of that hand of that enemy, all then the power of the Lord that was felt in their life, it was experienced in their life, His mighty arm, and that He had, that he took all that enemy in His hand, that they were but as clay in His holy fingers. Oh, then they may remember how mighty, how powerful that the Lord is. And then they may remember how willingly that the Lord has gone before them. Thus their origin. They may remember the place from which they were delivered. Thus they may remember the might and the power and the will of the Lord. Or they may go even further. They ought to go back even to the reason. Why was it that the Lord has even delivered them in the first place? We read that in Numbers 3. Because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord. Thus the Lord goes back further than their deliverance. What does He go back unto? He goes all the way back unto His own good pleasure. In His choosing, in His choice of His people. Before He even delivered them, then He has chosen them, and He has set them apart. And He has sanctified them. And therefore, He has delivered them. How did He sanctify them? He sanctified them by adopting them. He adopted them as His firstborn. Israel is my son. Even my firstborn, that is His possession. He has chosen Israel as His own people. He has chosen Israel as his own nation, the fruit of that choosing that is his deliverance. Thus they may remember their origin. Thus they may remember their deliverance. Thus they may go further to remember the very good pleasure of the Lord that is in his free choice of that people above all the nations of the world. All this the Lord will have his people to keep in continual remembrance. Why? So that their lives may be lived in dedication to him. Out of true gratitude. And in order to that, the Lord says, now, my people, you must give me your best. Of all that I give to you, the best part that belongs to me, the firstborn. What is that? That is your dearest possession. Your dearest possession. Of all your children that you must give, that one that you would not want to part with, your firstborn. What was it? It was a test. It was a test of the gratitude that lay in their heart. What was the tree of knowledge of good and evil? That was also a test. That was a test of the desire to obey the law. And when they would not eat of that forbidden tree, then they would show that their heart desired to keep that whole law of God. And now what does the Lord say? When you will give me the firstborn, when you will give me not everything, no, much you may keep for your own, but when you may give me the best part, then I will know where that your heart lies. Was that only for them? Or is that also for us? Let us sing. 311. 311, 1, 4, and 5. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? How shall my soul, by grace restored, give worthy thanks, O Lord, to thee? 1, 4, and 5 of 311. Congregation, it is Thanksgiving Day. And what is now the purpose? That is an acknowledgement. It is acknowledgement of the Lord for all His goodness. How is it in our heart? We were created by Him. Not only created by Him, but we have been upheld by Him, each one of us, day by day. What do we owe to Him? We owe everything to Him. We owe to Him our whole life. We owe to Him our heart. We owe to Him all our strength. We owe to Him all our goods. Yet the Lord does not require all this. No, the Lord does not require. And that we are each one going into that service of the Lord. No, we may each work for ourselves and make our gains in this world. And we may use them for ourselves. But what does the Lord say? All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. The Lord appeared to Jacob at Bethel. And what did the Lord do? The Lord spared his life. There was a murderer. And that murderer was behind him. And the Lord gave him to see that he was standing above him. And when Jacob's life that was forfeited, and then Jacob may receive, as it were, his life back again from the Lord. Then let us listen for a moment to what Jacob says. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me my bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Is that so for us too? Oh, then the Lord shall be my God. When the Lord has given and provided everything for us in this past season, does our heart go in that same direction as Jacob's heart that says, O Lord, may I now be thy child, and may thou now be my God. And then there is something else. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. Oh, what a love then that he has for the house and institutions of the Lord. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. Hannah, she had no child. And then she went to the Lord. And she said, Lord, if thou wilt give me a son, then I will give him back to thee. All that was now what was living in the heart of God's children. Israel, we read, they were commanded to bring the tithe before the Lord. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Today, we have no more such command. No, we are not any longer a theocracy. The civil laws and the ceremonial laws, they have come to an end. Thus, it is for the New Testament church a free will offering. Thus, there is no one that will go to check our tithing. No, it is just the opposite. What does the Lord say? He said, when you give your alms, let not your own right hand know what your left hand is doing, that your reward may not come from men, but that your reward may come from God Himself. But there is a reward. And that moral standard that the Lord sets in His Word, that remains the same. What does the Lord require? He requires the best portion. He requires the best portion. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast. It is not yours, it is mine. The firstborn, our most prized possession, that part that the Lord has given us that is now the most dear to our heart. What is it? It is the Lord's. Time of Malachi, the Lord had a controversy with His people. If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And that is, we read the reason that the Lord withheld the blessing from His people. Even from days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? What does that mean, boys and girls? To rob God, that it means to take what is His. Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Congregation, how is it now with the Lord's test of our gratitude on this Thanksgiving Day? And not only on Thanksgiving Day, but on every Sabbath day. That is not only for you, that is also for us. What do we read? We read of the Levites. The Levites, they are commanded to bring the tithe of the tithe, that is the tenth of the tenth. Out of all your gifts, ye shall offer every heave offering unto the Lord of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof, out of it. Oh, when it is right in our heart, when it is right in our heart, then the fattest part that we receive from the Lord, that is now reserved for Him. What is now the responsibility of receiving blessings from the Lord? What does the Lord say? He says, occupy till I come. Oh, then that house of the Lord does not lie waste. No, then the deacons, they have sufficient that they may give unto those that are needy. Then the ministry and the schools are maintained. Then the many, many causes that there are wherein that tithe is necessary for the disasters in this world, for the spreading of God's word, for the TBS, for the mission, and on, sanctify me. There is a reason. The Lord says, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. How is it now with God's children? The Lord puts it in their heart. The Lord puts it in their heart. Not as a duty, as a desire. How was it with that woman? That widow. That widow. What did she give? Oh, her heart was so full that she gave all her living. How is it with you, young people? How is it with you? Do you have a job? And then do you earn a little something? And now how is it with this test? Is it always mother and father that we have to bring in the gift from them? Or is there now also something that lives in your heart? How is it? The very best that you may have, would you be willing to give that to the Lord? He said, that is something. That is something. Something then has to live in our heart, doesn't it? Do you not see why that is a test? Because then love for the Lord, when we will part with our most dear possessions in this life, all then love for the Lord has to dwell in our heart. Congregation, do we know what thankfulness truly is? Thankfulness that is bringing forth fruits. Oh, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. How is it when the Lord converts his people? Then there is a strong motive. But we hope to hear more of that in this afternoon. Do you know what happens when the Lord converts his people? Oh, sometimes then we may be a girl, we may be a woman. And do you know what we want to do? We want to give ourselves into the service of the Lord. We want to be a minister. A minister. That we give our whole life for that service of the Lord. That cannot be. That cannot be. But the Lord, he knows what is living in our hearts. And now we want to say for a moment in ending what Paul writes. What does Paul write? Listen. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, not just a gift that is coming forth from what lies in our heart. More is required. Your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, that is set apart. Is our life set apart? Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Lord does not ask for something that is unreasonable. No, your reasonable service, that would be to present your whole body a living sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. O congregation, the Lord give to us true gratitude, then the fruit thereof will flow out of it. Amen. O Lord, it is thy word. Grant it a place in our heart, and that we may know the love of thy true church, that as a desire to give not only of the best portion, but that has a desire to give their whole life, their whole body, and to present it to thee as a living sacrifice. Then we shall have testimony in our own heart of thy work, of thy truth. All we beseech it of thee, Lord. Do it for thy great name's sake. Bring us safely to our homes. Forgive our many sins. Bring us with desire again in thy house in this afternoon. Help us one more time for Jesus' sake. Amen. 257 stanzas 1, 2, 1 and 3. O sing a new song to the Lord. Sing all the earth to God. In daily praises bless his name and tell his grace abroad. 1 in 3 of 257. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.